So. Our prayer is that we can relate to you how God took an evil for evil marriage and turned it into a loving relationship. Dolores and I dated for about 3 years when I asked her to marry me, and she immediately said yes. We were both so infatuated with each other that we didn't stop to think about all the problems and consequences that we would have. I looked up the word infatuation, and it means lacking sound judgment, completely carried away by foolish or shallow love. That was exactly us. We both had just come out of a hurtful and bitter divorce and brought a lot of baggage and moral impurity into this marriage.
Things went pretty well for the first 10 or 12 years.
Come a little closer to the mic.
I don't want to sound so loud. I was wrapped up in my two children, and when I felt lonely and unloved, I went out shopping for things I didn't even need. Harold was then working from daylight till dark. By the way, we're ranchers. Trying to make another dollar. He had such a poor self-image and felt total rejection. He thought if he could accumulate enough worldly goods, well, he could feel accepted. This really caused my bitterness and anger to surface. I soon learned that things and stuff didn't make me happy. About this time, Harold made some very poor business decisions, and boy, did our world fall apart. For the next 20 years, our marriage was a total mess. We bickered constantly, and only by God's grace did we stay together.
All this time we were Christians, but we still wanted to run our own lives. We know now that God was trying to get our attention, but we were so rebellious that we just wouldn't give in. We had been to many marriage counselors, but could never get any lasting help. Things would get better for a few weeks, then we would go right back to our old self again. We decided no more counselors for us. In January of 98, we agreed something had to change. We started reading the Bible, fasting and praying together. We were so determined to have a better marriage.
Take a deep breath. And I'm the one that has mercy.
Things improved some, but we had so much baggage, we just couldn't get free. We were so locked up. Dolores told me many times that we could never experience intimacy because of our previous marriage and lifestyle. She almost had me believing it, but praise God, he never gave up.
We both agreed we would hold hands while we prayed. Sometimes I only touched the end of his finger because I was so angry at him. But we found out you can't stay mad when you pray and touch. And then it finally got to more. It wasn't. Oh, dear.
We heard about BCC through some tapes that my brother had loaned us. This gave us a new ray of hope that there might be some help for us. We saw something different in these tapes and thought we would try counsel one more time. We called BCC in March of 2000 and got an appointment for 14 months later. My brother called and got his appointment for 2 months after ours. Well, I talked him into trading places with us because I had heard that if you go to BCC and tell everything about yourself, or you had to tell everything about yourself in order to get free. And I was afraid if I told all, and then they wasn't competent, that we would really be in a mess because we couldn't forgive each other. He and his wife had a marriage and didn't have all the baggage that we had. So I felt if we told every... Yes, I've already said that, so I'll go on. I'm going to read it twice. We called my brother every night while he was in Colorado Springs. He was so excited and got us so excited, we could hardly wait. We even counted the days. The week we were there was the most rewarding, but also the hardest week we ever spent. Even though it was hard, we could hardly wait for the next day's session. Each day we were being set free a little at a time. We were starting to love each other with a heart and become emotionally connected. After the last section, we headed home. We were still both very much uptight. The real impact didn't come until we hit. We were down the road some 3 hours. We hadn't spoken a word all that time.
That's the truth.
When I reached over and took the Lord by the hand, she melted.
I knew when he took my hand that he was a changed man, because he was never the one to make up.
At that moment, our whole world changed. We laughed, we cried, we had a whole new marriage. It was as if we had just left our wedding and was on our honeymoon. We felt God's total love and forgiveness, and we felt total forgiveness from each other for the first time. At last, we were free to love and be loved. We both felt so clean.
And the only way I can explain how I felt was that I had been in a terrible nightmare for 20 years.
And you just woke up.
And I just woke up.
Okay.
Oh, I did.
It has now been 15 months since our week at BCC. We now have the intimacy and love in our marriage that we so longed for but never thought possible. We know it was all made possible through God's grace, His love, and His forgiveness. We will forever be grateful to BCC, who gave us their time and spiritual depth to lead us to freedom. Thank you.
That's my favorite testimony. You notice how scared they were when they were talking. I was surprised they even were willing to share their story. It's neat to see couples connecting. You can turn to page 3 in your notes. We're going to be talking about developing emotional intimacy. It's neat to see individuals connect emotionally. Individuals that have been locked, couples that have been locked, because of issues emotionally in their past, where everything is shut down. Probably the most exciting thing about doing the leading people in prayer to resolve issues is the transformation that God does in the heart of the individual. Many times, couples are never the same again. Individuals are never the same. Something changes inside. And instead of them being closed and emotionally unresponsive to each other, their emotional hearts open to each other, and they connect with each other. I'd like to talk from 3 different perspectives as I begin. One is, every individual needs to be cared for individually by God and by other individuals. Every married couple needs to understand and care about each other and focus to understand the core emotional need and the core emotional pain issue in their spouse and minister to meet that need and to care about that emotional pain. an individual, single individual, can do that by having a friend that does the same thing, caring about their emotional need, caring about what they struggle with inside. In premarital counseling, I encourage two individuals 6 months before they're married to begin caring about each other's heart. So I show the guy the girl's emotional need. I show the guy the girl's emotional pain issue. How is she damaged? And I watch to see if he can care about her. I watch to see if she can understand his emotional need and if he can care about her. And I often say in my office, I don't want you getting married unless you understand that person's need and you can begin meeting that need 6 months before your wedding. Now, it's interesting. The things that I'm encouraging couples to resolve in their marriage, I didn't resolve for 30 years. But I'm asking them to resolve it before marriage, because if you do that, two people connect emotionally and they have far less issues between them if they understand and care about each other's heart. Now, the interesting thing that you notice is 90% of the time we marry our worst parent. So whatever a person struggles with their parent, that's the person they're going to be attracted to. The other thing I've noticed is that the guy will always step on the girl's pain and the girl will always step on the guy's pain. And while they start dating, they begin a cycle that is a negative cycle that's going to damage their relationship. And that happens in every couple that dates, and it happens in every couple that gets married. Now, if you can identify those issues before you get married, before you get in the rut of a relationship for 30 years or 20 years, and you can understand that and care about it, what happens is it produces a relationship that is fantastic. Now, tonight I'd like to talk about intimacy. Intimacy, connecting, caring about other people and them caring about us, is not something very many people ever experience. We feel distant from one another. We feel unloved, uncared for. We wonder if anyone is ever going to love us or understand us or care about what our needs are. We miss the feeling of being close, being understood, being cared for. Every person longs for a relationship to have somebody care, but the problem is, so often we don't ever experience that connection. Emotional connection is essential if a couple is to experience the oneness God designed. Often people intellectually connect, but they never connect their hearts and emotionally care about each other's heart. I have a belief system that God created every person to love. God created every person to respond to being loved. And if a person's not loving, something's wrong. If a person can't respond to being loved, something's wrong in the relationship. Now, each person has a need to be loved. Each person has a need to be appreciated. Each person has a need to be accepted. Each person has a need to feel significant, to feel valued. Each person has a need for security in relationship. And that's true if you're married or if you're not married. We need individuals who care about these issues in our life. Now, one of the problems is often a person doesn't experience those issues in their life, and as a result, they become insecure. Intimacy involves a commitment to love. In Ephesians 5:29, it says, husbands are to nourish and cherish their wives. That nourish and cherish involves caring and supporting and tenderly caring for the needs of that wife. When a husband does that, the wife responds. Secondly, the husband is asked to respect or honor. Intimacy involves respect and honor. In Ephesians 5:33, it says that wives are to reverence their husband. 1 Peter 3:7 says husbands are to respect their wives, and if they don't respect their wives, God won't answer their prayer. Interesting verse there. The third is a commitment to openness, to communication, to transparency. When two people are totally open with all their issues, nothing being held back, what happens is they can experience a connection emotionally that's very beautiful in a relationship. The fourth is that intimacy involves appreciation, gratitude, and gratefulness is essential in a relationship. The fifth is intimacy involves a commitment to submission. Submission is yielding personal rights to the benefit of another person. Ephesians 5:22 talks about wives submitting, but in that same passage it talks about a couple submitting one to another out of respect for Christ. Finally, intimacy involves a commitment to cleansing. In Ephesians 5:26 and 27, it says that husbands are to cleanse their wives as Christ cleansed the church. And a wife's responsibility, 1 Peter 3, is to, without a word, to transform her husband just by her attitude. Now, when you have an emotional connection, what happens is people begin to respond. Now, I'm going to give you a secret. In my office, I have the privilege of counseling two cases every week, and I keep tweaking my process to see if I can get closer to what people are struggling with, and this is what I found, to work the best. If you would take your wife or a friend and identify what was the age in which their heart was damaged. Let's say that you have an individual who was rejected by her father when she was 10. The heart of that person, if the father rejected his daughter at 10, that heart is going to close in at 10. 30 years later, you as a husband are talking to your wife. If you go back and say, there's a 10-year-old girl that got damaged. Her daddy emotionally pulled away from her and never connected after 10. Can I care about that young girl? If you do that, you're going to get into the heart of that wife faster than any other way. If you understand the pain she experienced at 10 and say, your dad ignored you, your dad didn't even notice you, your dad didn't understand you, what if I understood you? What if I cared? What if I listened? What if I sought to care about that pain? You're going to get right into your wife's heart in a matter of a few minutes. What you have to do is you have to take the pain, whatever negative things were affected by that pain, reverse it to a positive statement. If she was not listened to by her father, and you say, what if I listened to a 10-year-old girl that had never been listened to? What would you do with me? What if I understood you in a way your father never understood you? What if I focused to care about your heart like your father didn't do? What's going to happen is your wife is going to let you in because you're actually caring about what she has struggled with in her life more than any other. Let's reverse it. Let's say that you have a husband, and let's say that husband was damaged by a perfectionist, dominant, critical father. If you ask that husband, tell me at what age your heart locked up. If he says, it was when I was 14, I remember the day I made a statement, no one is ever going to pressure me again. Okay, that's when his heart locks. If you as a wife start caring about that husband's pain at 14 and say, can I care about the pressure you experienced from your dad? What if I understood what happened in your heart? Do you think I could get your heart to open? All of a sudden, if you look at your husband's face, his face is going to totally change. It's his heart on his face. His heart's coming back because someone is caring. Now, we titled our ministry Caring for the Heart Ministry because that's what we do. When you start understanding and caring about a person's heart, what happens is you see their heart on their face, and instead of pain, despondency, you're going to see a smile. You're going to see a heart open. Every week when I sit in my office and I'm sitting with a couple, I have the guy face his wife. I guess, based on what they tell me, when her heart died, and I get him to start caring, and all of a sudden, you'll have a smiling girl open her face up and she can't control it. All of a sudden, you'll have a person so excited because someone's loving her. And if you go back, it's the same girl that was damaged at age 8 that's opening her heart for the first time since that heart was damaged. Now, I wish I could say 50% of people aren't damaged. I've only found 2 people that I couldn't find their pain before 18 out of 1,200 couples I've counseled, which is 2,400 people. I've only found 2 people that didn't have a childhood pain. Now, you have to understand, I only see problems in my office. No one comes to my office because they have it all together. And by the way, no one has it all together unless you're from Texas. Texas has an exemption. Texas doesn't have any problems. Some of you must know something I don't. Some of your wives are saying, I know something John hasn't heard about yet. Just wait till I tell him about my husband. Okay. Now, with understanding that, when you focus your eyes on your spouse to care about that 8-year-old girl, you focus to care about that 14-year-old boy that was damaged, that person has to decide what to do with you. They're going to either block you and put up a wall and say, I'm not going to let you in. And everybody starts there usually. And they will hide their heart behind a wall. And I often ask them, do you have a wall up? What is the wall made of? Some people will say concrete. So I ask a question, how thick is a concrete? One man said 3 feet. I'm not going to let my wife in because she's critical and angry. And then I ask a question, were either of your parents critical and angry of you? 90% of the time, the answer is yes. It was my dad. It was my mom. And I was emotionally damaged by that because 90% of the time we marry our worst parents. So if I'm looking for the pain in their childhood, it's going to be duplicated in their relationship. They're going to react to the same thing in their marriage. The next thing I understood was the fact that a person's pain always seems to repeat itself. And you only react to a certain kind of pain. No one reacts to every kind of pain. So if you had a critical, dominant, angry mother, and you marry a critical, angry wife, you're going to react if you have a critical, angry boss. And you'll react if you're on the church board with a critical, angry person. It's always the same pain. Now, that helps me understand people because I always look for what is the core emotional pain that follows a person all the way through their life. What is the issue? And how has that emotionally affected them? And how can I, as a counselor, care? Now, if you came to training tomorrow I have 4 steps if you want to care about your spouse or care about another person's pain. First of all, you accept the person without judging them. You don't say, that's really stupid that you're depressed. Why are you so angry? Why don't you stop doing that? That doesn't help at all. But we accept them where they are. We seek to understand what they've experienced. Thirdly, we care about their pain. And fourth, we lead them in a prayer to resolve the issue. If the issue is a spiritual issue, like bitterness or moral failure, we acknowledge and repent of that. And the Blue Workbook was designed with prayers to help you do that. If the problem is emotional, in other words, a person's emotionally damaged, we want to lead them in a prayer for Jesus to heal their heart. So the prayer is going to go something like this. Jesus, I was damaged by my mother, who was always critical and perfectionistic, and I could never meet her expectations. Jesus, what did that do to my heart? How would you heal my heart? Can you bring peace to my heart? Can you make a safe place where I can go whenever people pressure me with expectations? That's the prayer, similar prayer to resolve the issue. Now, intimacy cannot be achieved if, in a marriage, pressure patterns are being used touching one's pain, or emotional pain issues are being touched, causing one to react and put up walls, or there are unresolved spiritual issues in one's life, or the pain of one's past abuse is blocking intimacy. In order to resolve these issues, we have to resolve every issue on this sheet. We have to resolve the spiritual issues, because if a person is bitter, they can't respond in relationship. If a person is prideful, they can't respond in relationship. If a person is defiant, no one's going to tell me what to do. You can't have a relationship. So we want to resolve each of the spiritual issues. We also have to resolve on the left-hand column of the sheet all the emotional pain issues. Because if you were neglected as a child, no one paid attention to you. When you get married, every time your spouse doesn't pay attention and neglects you, you're going to lock up and get angry and critical and frustrated. We have to resolve that pain. On the other hand, if you were sexually abused as a child, what happens is every time your spouse steps on that pain, you're going to lock up and emotionally react. So we need to resolve the sexual abuse. We also, on the top, have to resolve pressure patterns, because if you had a perfectionist mother, you're going to marry a perfectionist husband. Thanks a lot. So what you reacted to as a child to your mother, now you're going to react to for 60 years in your marriage. Now, if that's not resolved, what's going to happen is you're going to put up a wall every time someone steps on that pain. But what if a husband, a wife, a single person resolves all 4 of these issues on each side of this sheet? Something happens. What happens is their heart opens, and all of a sudden, they become a different person. They lose their depression. They lose their emotional pain inside, and they start laughing. They start having joy in their heart. And their heart is open, and they want to connect in a relationship. And if that person is married, they're going to want to connect with their spouse. If it's a single person, they're going to look for someone that they can connect with, to feel emotional connection with, someone who's going to care about them, and they're going to want to care about them. Because emotional connection can happen between 2 friends, can happen between a husband and wife, it can be happening between a parent and a child. Because emotional connection is just merely understanding and caring about another person and meeting that person's emotional need. Now, once these issues are resolved, what we want to do is seek to move to connect in relationship for fulfillment. In doing that, we want to ask 4 questions. This is focused on husbands and wives. Number one, can a husband emotionally have an open heart to care about his wife? Can a wife feel that, take it in? Sometimes you marry a husband with an open heart and he's very sympathetic, but a wife has been damaged and she blocks that relationship. She can't respond to it. That arrow is broken. The next question is, can a wife emotionally connect her husband? Can a husband take it in? Now, more often, husbands are damaged and wives are open to caring, but a husband has never felt loved, has put up walls, is defiant, no one's going to make me do anything, and they don't even respond to the neat thing called emotional connection. They can't feel loved. Now, we found this week a Texas pattern. After you counsel about 35 cases, all the counselors get together and they sit at a lunch table and they say, is this the Texas pattern? You know what I found is the Texas pattern? In Texas, we're very self-disciplined with high expectations. Parents have high expectations of their children, but not very much sympathy. And if the children don't meet their expectations, they get frustrated with them and they pressure them to do it right, causing young people to react and say, you're not going to make me do that. So you're going to get a percentage of young people rebelling and reacting and defying that expectation. But they're rejected if they don't do it right. So we have high rejection scores and high depression scores and high anxiety because we can't achieve what's expected of us, and emotionally we die inside. That's a pattern I've seen in this culture. Now, is there anything wrong with being self-disciplined? No. But if you're self-disciplined and you don't care about that other person, and you're critical of them if they don't meet your expectation, and you're self-focused on yourself, not caring about them, focused on what you expect them to do, what happens is you're going to damage them emotionally. And their heart is going to shut down, and they're going to build a wall, and they're going to hide their heart behind the wall, and they're going to feel like they can't meet your expectations, and they're emotionally going to lock up. How do you understand intimacy? When a couple comes into my office, typically they're emotionally detached. They've lived long enough together that they're reacting to each other. They can't stand each other. They can't look at each other. They don't want to be together. When you resolve the emotional issues and the spiritual issues, what happens is two people automatically come together because everyone wants to connect in relationship and wants to feel that emotional connection with their heart. One of the sheets that I gave you was questions directed to the heart of the other person. It's the last page in your notes. I'd like for you to take that sheet, because if you have a friend that you want to find out what's going on inside their heart, or if you have a wife or a husband and you want to find out what's going on inside their heart, you begin asking questions directed to their heart. One question is, draw me a picture of your heart this evening. Interesting question. Most of you have never been asked that. Second question is, how far away is your heart from mine? One man said, my heart's in Australia. One woman says, you chop my heart in 100 pieces and I put it in 100 cities in Europe and you're never going to get it back. Another man says, it's at the furthest planet and don't ever expect to get it back because you hurt me so bad I'm not coming back with my heart. Now, I could go on and on and on because I remember a lot of them. But that's how far away their hearts were. Now, it's interesting, as soon as they felt love, that Australian person that stuck his heart in Australia was back in 1 second in my office because someone was loving and all of a sudden they needed to be there to feel that love. The guy on the furthest planet came back rather rapidly when his wife finally figured out how she was damaging him and began caring. Then you ask questions. Can you put in 3 words how you were damaged? What do you need from me that would make you the happiest person in the world? How could I care about your heart today? Now, most of you have never been asked those questions, have you? Because we talk intellectually. How's your day? Fine. Are you okay? Yes. That's our conversation. Can I encourage you to reach down into a person's heart and communicate to their heart level? This little sheet will help you. And just take these questions and start asking your spouse these questions. I'd like for you to go to the page called Emotional Pain from One's Past. And I would like to encourage you, each as individual, to take the words in the box at the top and list all the pain words in the left-hand column that you experienced personally. If you're married, I want you to write in the right-hand column how your spouse can meet those emotional, those needs and care for that pain. If you're a single person, I would like for you to list the emotional pain issues from your past in the left-hand column. And in the right-hand column, I want you to define how a friend could meet those needs that you struggle with as a result of your pain. On the next page, we have meeting each other's emotional needs. Remember, I said at the beginning of the session, every person has a core emotional need. My need is acceptance. It's because my pain was rejection. Yours might be to feel significant. Yours might be to have approval, to be cared for. I want you to identify the emotional needs that you have in the left-hand column. If you're married, I want you to define how you would like your spouse to meet those emotional needs. If you're single, I'd like for you to find a friend and share your emotional need and share with them how they could meet that emotional need by caring about what your need is as an individual. Every person has a need. Every person has a pain issue they've covered. When you start caring, you're going to destroy depression. My favorite thing in my office is to take a 99% depressed person and see if I can knock it off in 15 hours. That's my favorite thing to do. Where a person cannot feel depressed at the end of the week, they can't find their depression. And the way I do that is I define the emotional pain, I define the emotional need, and I get the spouse to care about that, and the person at the age level where they were damaged all of a sudden loses their pain. And they start smiling and they can't shut their smile off. That's my favorite thing to do. And it works. I even tried it yesterday. I tried it again today, and it worked. It's fun. It's my favorite thing to do. Can I challenge you? Some of you are struggling. I want you to come to freedom. I want you to experience freedom that Jesus can give from your emotional pain. Some of you, God wants to care about somebody else that's struggling. May I encourage you to reach out to someone else, take these worksheets, and say to a person, what is your deepest pain? Will you write the pain issues on this sheet? How can I care about those? How can I start encouraging you so that you don't have to carry your pain? I'd like to lead you in a prayer to resolve your pain. I'd like to be there for you. Like Marilyn helped Alexandria in the first testimony tonight, you could change another person's life by leading them to Jesus for them to experience peace. My prayer is that every person here would experience what it feels like to be loved, to be cared for, to be understood. My prayer is that every person here would know the freedom of Jesus speaking peace to your pain, so you don't have to carry it. And my prayer is that you would experience the joy of being in a relationship with a God who cares about your heart. Let's bow in a word of prayer.